Yes, our afternoon tafsir segment, where we're looking at the verses from the Noble Quran, moving from the 30th juz onwards, and that is where we started back in 2013. We've now reached the point of Surah At-Tur. Now, Surah At-Tur is a Makki surah dealing with the subject of the Islamic creed, investigating the fundamentals of belief, the oneness of Allah. The surah commences with a description of the terrors and the hardships of the year after, and what will take place on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wat-Tur, by the oath of the mount. And this refers to Mount Sinai, on which Allah had spoken to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, the word Tur in Hebrew means a mountain that has trees, as opposed to Jabal, a mountain that does not have any trees. And Tur stands for Mount Sinai, which is situated in the land of Madian, where Nabi Musa alayhi salam had the honor of speaking to Allah. Some reports narrate that there are four mountains of paradise in this world, and one of them is Mount Tur. Allah begins the surah by swearing an oath by Tur, and that in itself carries a special significance and honor of the mountain. It also signifies that certain injunctions have been revealed by Allah for people to follow. Compliance with them is obligatory. وَكِتَابٍ مَسْتُورٍ فِي رَقٍ مَنْشُورٍ, and a book written on wide open scrolls. And Allah takes an oath by the book written on an unrolled scroll. The word raq means a fine parchment or fine piece of skin used for the purpose of writing on it. So that's why we often refer to it as scrolls of paper. That the book refers to the preserved tablet, the book of deeds, or the Quran, the Torah that was revealed at Mount Tur, or all heavenly books in general. Moving further, Allah takes another oath by saying, "Wal baytil ma'mur," by the inhabited house, by the populated house, al baytul ma'mur. Al baytul ma'mur is in the heavens, and it is meant for the angels. It serves as a parallel to the Kaaba on the earth. According to a hadith in Sahihain, the Messenger said, "On my mi'raj, on my journey to the seventh heaven, then I was taken to Al-Baytul Ma'mur. It is visited every day by 70,000 angels who will not come back to visit it again, because every day other new angels take their turn to visit it." Subhanallah. That is the number of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many angels. Al-Baytul Ma'mur is the Kaaba of the angels, as we indicated, that the angels who reside in the seventh heaven, they are there. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the seventh heaven on the night of Mi'raj, he saw Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam reclining with his back on Al-Baytul Ma'mur. It was Nabi Ibrahim who had built the Kaaba on earth, and thus the reward is compatible with his action. Allah has blessed him with a special connection with Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, that home which is exactly directly above the Kaabatul Mukarramah. Moving further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَالسَّقْفِ الْمَرْفُوعِ, and the elevated canopy. In other words, by the oath of the heavens which are above the earth like a canopy. It could also refer to the grand throne of Allah, which is above all the heavens. In some narrations, it is referred to as the canopy of paradise. Wal bahril masjur, and the swelling earth. And the swelling earth, this could refer to the swelling seas, or the swelling seas, that is what they refer to this world, or the mighty seas, which is beneath the grand throne of Allah. Bahar means sea, and masjur is derived from sajar, which is used in several different senses, one of which is to kindle with fire. So some of the commentators have interpreted this that by the sea which will be kindled with a fire on the day of Qiyamah, She says, Allah said, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, and when the seas will be kindled with fire. In other words, it will be kindled with fire and become a raging fire surrounding the people on the plains of Hashr. And this is what has been reported by Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Musayyib, as well as Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib and others. A Jewish person asked Sayyidina Ali, where is Jahannam? And he replied, the sea. The Jew was a scholar of the previous scriptures and confirmed what he was saying. Sayyidina Qatada and others have said that the Bahr al-Masjur, this is the filled sea, and this is what Mullah Shafi'i Thani rahimahullah has also stated. Moving further, Allah then gives the answer to all the oaths. Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi' ma lahu min dafi'. The punishment of your sustainer will certainly come to pass. There is none to ward it off. All these creation in whose names an oath has been taken bear testimony to the fact that Allah is the being who is almighty and all powerful. And with the might and the power of Allah and the will of Allah, punishment will be afflicted to those who disobey Him. And who has the power to stop the punishment of Allah? That from verse 1 to verse 6, various oaths were taken. Allah took oaths at various things. And then after the oaths, you have the answer to the oaths, which is the Jawabul Qasam. And in this case, the Jawabul Qasam comes in verse number 7, in which it is stated that the torment of Allah will come to pass, and none will be able to avert the torment of Allah. This is such a powerful verse. It is stated that Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu one day recited Surah Tur, and when he came to the verse, Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi', he released a very deep sigh, and after which he fell ill for about 20 days. During his illness, people would visit him not knowing what caused his illness. Have you heard of anyone in this era becoming ill because of concern of what will happen in the Akhirah? That is almost impossible. Yet this was how real the Quran was for the Sahaba. That listening to a verse, it would impact them so profoundly, so deeply, so heavily, that it would result in their health deteriorating. Sayyidina Jabir ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu has stated that before embracing Islam, he once went to the holy city of Medina to negotiate regarding the prisoners of the Battle of Badr. And he says that when he arrived there, Nabi Salaam was reciting Surah Tur in Maghrib Salah, and his voice could be heard outside the masjid. So powerful was the voice of Nabi Salaam, a loud voice. There was no mic that time. And when he reversed, when he recited, Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi' ma lahu min dafi', that certainly the punishment of your Lord will fall and there's none to push it back. When he recited those verses, Sayyidina Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu says that he suddenly felt that his heart would burst through fear, and he instantly embraced Islam. He felt at that time he should not be able to move unless the torment would descend upon him. That is why he accepted Islam. So my point this afternoon is that we need to bring the Quran alive with us, within our lives, that when we hear the verses, it should impact us, that we should live those verses, they should have an impact on us. That is the reality, and that is how we should live the Quran. Allah give us the understanding.